Before we open God's word, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Almighty and gracious Father in heaven, in this morning hour we direct all of our praise, adoration, love, and thanksgiving unto thee for thy goodness. We have sung hallelujah and praise to the Lord for thy kindness and thy mercy that thou hast shown. And we pray as we would sit at thy feet for learning and as we would open thy precious and living word, that thou would be present among us and provide as only thou canst do, through the wisdom and truth of thy word and through the power of thy Holy Spirit. We also ask that thou would be with each and every one of us who are gathered here today, from the youngest to the oldest, that thou would provide us thy blessing, thy instruction, thy admonition, as thou dost see fit, and that we with intention and purpose of heart would look up to thee with eyes of faith and realize what a blessing it is that thou art willing to communicate thy message of love and truth through Jesus Christ and bring thy light and truth to us, that we would receive it within our hearts, and that thy word would bear its fruit in our lives, that holiness and sanctification and love for thee and love for our neighbor would be evidence that we have been in church today, and that thy name would be receiving all the honor, praise, and the glory that thou art worthy of. We do give thee our thanks and pray that thy presence would be with us in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. With the Lord's help, I desired that we would read together from the second epistle of Paul to the Apostle Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1.
Nađena je druga poslanica apostola Pavla Timotiju, prva glava. Druga poslanica Timotiju, prva glava.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well.
Beloved, we have read together a letter from Paul to Timothy, a personal letter. And it is one that was written in great love and care and concern to encourage Timothy in the work that he had been called to do in Ephesus. You might wonder, why should we read a personal letter? This is for him. But the reality is that sorrow and hardship and need for encouragement is something that we all share. There's not one of us that will go through life without hardship and grief. Each and every one. If not now, later. If not now, then we have. And we need to hear what the encouragement of the word is for when we go through a time like this. We might not be called to exactly the calling that Timothy was, but we have a life. And we have our challenges. Everybody has some concern about what the future will hold or what their present situation is. You ask the farmer or the person who's struggling with a new business, who has the uncertainty of what each month is going to take. They might think, if I had just a regular 9-to-5, that would give me so much more security and it would be easier. But then the one in the office that's working 9-to-5 under the pressures of a boss, he's thinking, wow, how idyllic it would be to be out on that farm, out in the pastures. Man is always looking for something different. Everybody from their own perspective has some challenge that they face. And we're called in this letter, and Timothy is called, and we are called as well, to respond with faith. Faith in our Lord. Faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul writes that he is the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Every word that Paul says, it has some meaning and preciousness. Paul and Timothy are not in what men would consider a mountaintop experience at this point in their life. Perhaps some background of this book would help us to appreciate what is actually written here. For this is the second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. In the first letter, Paul writes to Timothy to prepare him for a work that he was being instructed to do in Ephesus. And it was not an easy job. He was told to preach the word, to teach the believers about what they were to do in their daily patterns of life and to establish the order of the worship services. He was to rebuke believers that were sinning publicly. He was to take initiative to withdraw from those who were teaching false doctrine. He was to evaluate situations where physical needs could be met by the church, and then command the rich to be willing to give. He was to review the candidates and brethren for the qualifications of elders and bishops to share the load and ordain them. He was to live an exemplary life in pureness, in pure conscience, and to do all of these things without any partiality or hypocrisy, in great ethic. Not even one of these things is an easy task, and all of them is a great burden. But he was commanded to take it on with the help of the Lord. And Paul told Timothy, "I am planning to come to you quickly." But Paul never came. The support and help that he had expected from Apostle Paul was delayed. And instead, Timothy receives a letter. And as he opens it up, he sees Paul has written him a letter. And he is reading these words and wondering what has happened, what has caused this delay. He finds out that Paul is in prison. And this is the last time. And Paul is anticipating and waiting. He doesn't know if the footsteps that he hears around the corner are his next meal or his executioner. And so when we read that Apostle Paul is meditating and bringing to memory to Timothy the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, for the one who is in fear, who is in peril of this life, the one not in fear for his soul, but is in great hardship, the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus casts out that fear and is a great comfort. And so he meditates on these things, the things that can provide for him, the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. He speaks to Timothy with such loving care. "My dearly beloved son." He speaks about Onesiphorus, one who was not ashamed of his chain at the end of this chapter, not ashamed of the one who was in prison, but came to help him. And when we read this chapter, we see the working of the kingdom of God and how believers followed Jesus Christ's teaching to love and to serve one another. And we see God's work and his kingdom at work in these people's lives. And we're called to this. I wish each of us would know a Paul and would know a Timothy, would have one who prays for them. He says that he prays without ceasing, having remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. If calling Timothy his son, his beloved son, did not convey the love and the feeling that Paul had for him, then certainly this, that he prayed for him often, conveyed the love and showed him how dearly beloved he was. Timothy was dearly beloved. He was greatly entrusted by Apostle Paul with the work that he was given to do. He was greatly desired to be seen. And he says, "Being mindful of thy tears." Paul knew what Timothy was going through. The great burden of the care of the churches that had come upon him. And Timothy was no stranger to this because we see that Paul had sent him to Corinth, to Philippi, to other churches to establish them, to help them in their walk of faith. But now he's here in Ephesus. And Paul's mindful of his tears. He knows that Timothy was expecting him to come, and maybe he remembers the parting tears that they shared on their last time together. Maybe he knows what Timothy is going through as he's preaching the word and pouring himself out and giving of himself for the service of the congregation and even for those who still have yet to know the Lord. And he sees them never change or walk away. And he grieves. He grieves for their loss He grieves for their souls. And Paul encourages him later, teach them patiently. God may give them repentance. So keep on teaching and persevere. Timothy had to speak against false teachers in Ephesus. And Paul knew all about this as well. In Paul's final address to the elders of Ephesus, he called them together before he went to Jerusalem and was sent to Rome. And he says to the elders as they're gathered together, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." In the very same place, now the fulfillment of that nightmare scenario, Timothy is in the midst of that fire that Paul said would happen. Paul knows what he is going through. But these tears that Timothy is shedding, and your tears that you shed, don't they teach us something? Don't they show us? When we care for something deeply, when we love something passionately, that we feel the grief and the shame and the sorrow of the loss and the need of others, it shows us what we truly care about, what we truly love and are devoted to. Sometimes we wonder, why can't my life be just a little bit easier? Why can't I just have a life like somebody who doesn't worry about the faith or somebody else in their wanderings away from Jesus Christ? It's because you care. It's because we care. It's because Timothy cared that he shed these tears. This faithful, loved, and caring brother brought joy to the heart of Paul when he remembered that the faith that was in Timothy, it says, was an unfeigned faith. It's not fake. To feign an injury is like the soccer player that grabs his shin when he's not even touched, and he's screaming and shouting, looking to draw the foul. That's a feigned injury. That's fake. That's an appearance. That's a show. But unfeigned faith is the genuine faith. It's the sincere, holy faith of Jesus Christ that's in him. It was in his grandmother Lois and in his mother. But he wasn't content to leave it as a heritage with them, but it was in him. And this faithful and caring brother, the encouragement and exhortation that he's given is to stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God that was in him by the putting on of Paul's hands, the Spirit of the living God. He was not instructed, as maybe our flesh would like to know, "You've been faithful. You've been careful. You've been caring and loving. Now you deserve a break. You can put your feet up. You've worked hard and you deserve it." Isn't that what the marketing of this world says? But those who are faithful and entrusted and faithful with a little, they will be entrusted with more. And so even as we had prayed, the Christian life, as we learn and as we grow, it's a pattern to continue in the learning, to continue in the exercising of the gifts that God has given into our lives and continue to serve. just like Jesus Christ did. As he continued to serve, there was no limit to his love and the pouring out of himself, for he has loved us unto death. God has not given us a spirit of fear, Paul says, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The worries and the fears that Timothy may have experienced, that wasn't from God. But from God we receive a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And even just this thought itself could take perhaps this midweek service to meditate and to dig into deeply. But Timothy is called to higher ground when faced with adversity and challenge. And we are as well. He is told not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. We see that Timothy is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, who at that time was not known throughout the world as influencing all of Western culture, and to be pervasive in the history of common man. But he was known as someone who was crucified. And Paul is now known as an apostle that was in jail. And it's a great challenge. In a world of pagans and Jews that contradicted the message of the gospel, to stand up. To stand up for the one who the world despises. But Paul says, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Be a partaker of the afflictions. Take part in the tribulation and the trials that come to all those that were lived by faith. The afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Timothy is not alone. Timothy is guided and aided and blessed with the power of God. And to remember that, to instill that deeply in his mind, the Apostle Paul begins speaking beautiful lessons of salvation that are so good for us to remember, brother and sister, and that you, those who are outside of the fold of Jesus Christ, need to embrace. He calls upon Timothy to draw on the experience that he has had in the salvation that he has found in Jesus Christ and use that experience and remember who is with him in the fire of the trials of his day. And we should do that too. Take to note, he says, he has saved us. It's not we ourselves who have saved ourselves. Timothy was a son of a Jewish mother and a Gentile dad. And he may have heard the story of Abraham and how he went to sacrifice Isaac based on the command of God. And Isaac asked, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham said, in faith, that God will provide himself a lamb. And we know that God provided a ram in the thicket. And Timothy was hearing the words of salvation, that God had provided a lamb, Jesus Christ the Lord, the Lamb of God, to shed his precious blood so that he can save us and redeem us and wash us and cleanse us by his blood from our stain and guilt of sin. God has provided. You see, God has provided for salvation. And now when you are challenged in the faith, when you are challenged to live a godly life, God will provide. Take heart and take heart in the testimony of the faithfulness of God as he has shown it in his salvation. He has provided. And he will provide. He will provide for you. He has called us with a holy calling. We as Christians are all called to a holy calling as a vocation, as a lifestyle. But this calling is referring to the invitation. The invitation of God unto salvation. He has called us. He has drawn us to himself. And it is an invitation because there is a response that we must give. That choice is up to us. And he says, not according to our works. How important, how good it is to remember this, that this invitation of God in Christ Jesus to salvation is not according to our works. And I know that many of us who are believers, we struggled with this because it's part of men's flesh to want to do something to merit God's favor, to earn in some way or to gain some credit, to clean up in some way. But the invitation of God to salvation in Jesus Christ is not given to us by our works. We are given the invitation to unite with Jesus Christ. And we respond to that invitation by repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. There's a song in our Zion's Heart, number 25, whose words so beautifully mirror the situation that Timothy was in, and is also a song of communion. And it speaks of the invitation of God. And I'd just like to read two verses. The hymn writer says of God, thou hast the will and power to strengthen, for thou hast loved me unto death. As long as thou my days wilt lengthen, I'll trust in thee with every breath. O dearest Lord, to thee I call. Thou truly art my all in all. Still closer unto thee unite me, as with the Father one thou art. To be thine own thou didst invite me, and thine I am with all my heart. This is my constant goal and aim, my bosom as thy dwelling claim. Paul goes on and speaks more of the salvation to encourage and bolster the strength and help and faith of Timothy and for us too, that this salvation and this calling was according to God's own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God is not hesitant in his offer of salvation, in his invitation to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. He's not unwilling. It was his idea and his own purpose. His hand is not coerced by anyone. The Father is willing and has willingly sent his Son. And it was his own purpose and grace. And it was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It was always his intention, not a haphazard, last-minute sort of put this together and fix things up. He always intended for you and for me to find his purpose for us in Christ Jesus, to find the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And we, though we may find ourselves not fitting in with this world, not having a place, we see that God has a purpose and a place for each of us in his kingdom. It is according to his own purpose that he has. You were not also an afterthought. But there's a place for you at the cross of Jesus Christ. And this salvation, Paul says, is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Everything that we need to know, everything that we need to embrace and hold dear, everything that is unclear or uncertain about the will of God and salvation is revealed and made known and brought to light in Jesus Christ, in his teachings and in his life and in his sacrifice. And Jesus calls us, one and all, to take his yoke upon us. Timothy, take my yoke upon and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Some of you young ones are going to be going back to school soon. And you will learn. You will learn about the world. You will learn about your occupations. You will learn facts and figures, histories and dates. But there is one saving name and one Savior. Learn of him. That is saving knowledge. That is eternal life. In all of your learning, seek him. Take time to learn and read of Jesus Christ. Take time to pray about unto him for your soul's great need. There is no other way. There is no other instruction that can be given to men to provide for our soul's great need than in Jesus Christ. And it is far more than our filling our mind with the knowledge of him and the facts and the figures, but in an embrace of him through faith. That is the end of the matter. Timothy was called to a very, very challenging task and life. And you may not be called to exactly the same things that he was. But you are called to your life. You are called, fathers, to your children. Mothers, to your homes. Everyone, to our occupation and our friends. And all that we commit and we do, we surrender unto God and trust him and would do it in faith. So whether it would be joyous and easy, or hard times and sorrow and struggle, that he would provide all that we are needing. We would find his abundant grace and help. That we would not settle with apathy or complacency, but be called to the higher ground of faith, and to press for the mark. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord, to whom be honor, praise, and glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.